You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, in keeping with the news-breaking issues that go on in the NFL, and there's a lot of news every day, there was a note that just came across that the Ravens look and anticipate to have to start the year without Dennis Pitta,
yes,
their tight end, who was injured in Cleveland here last year when he had that hip injury, and he was coming back from a hip injury. And that was a tough moment. That was a tough moment to watch at
it
the
was,
stadium
and he's
that
a good
day.
Player. They rely on him for
player.
A lot of things.
And remember, they were at their best when they had, when they had Todd Heap, right? Where
yes.
You know,
but also, that was my era.
Yeah, and then Pitta came in with that Ed Dixon. Wasn't that Ed Dixon?
Yes.
They had the double tight ends.
Yep.
And they liked the tight ends. I think they actually
Owen Daniels as well?
Yeah, Owen Daniels, they went out and got. So they liked the tight ends, and Pitta was really the guy that was a really good player for Joe Flacco, and it looks as though he'll begin the year anyway on PUP.
Yep.
So that's disappointing. Were your quarterbacks, when you played in the NFL, and you mentioned guys like Phillip Rivers, were they good practice players?
They were great practice
really,
players.
Really? Because some quarterbacks are not good practice players.
Yeah. The Drew Brees. Drew
I think
Brees
Doug Deacon used to say that Brian Sipe wasn't great in practice, but he was great. He was
great in the game.
He was great on Sunday.
Drew Brees was, and even still, which is why he's had the career that he's had, and in some cases might be the all-time leading passer in the National Football League if he plays long enough, was a perfectionist. The way he trains, the way he practices. And then Phillip Rivers, if you recall, both of them were
in San Diego
the same year. We had the heir apparent, a lot like Rodgers and Favre. But Aaron didn't pick up the Favre way of practicing. But Drew dripped on Phillip to be the same intense player that Phillip Rivers is on Sundays. He practiced like as well. And come to find out, all quarterbacks, they all want to be perfect. And I think that's where, to bring it all full circle back to here, you look at some of the frustration that Johnny Manziel had at practice,
right?
And he wants to be perfect. He wants to make the throws because in his mind, he wants it to be perfect. And at Texas A&M, it wasn't always perfect, but he made the play.
Right.
He was exceptional enough so to win the Heisman. And he wants to mimic that same thing here in Cleveland, but doesn't come that easy. So to be optimistic, it's you hope that he's got his personal life intact. He's
right.
Now all in to be a great quarterback here in Cleveland.
Time for After Further Review. Dave DiNatale will join us as he will give us our topics.
Yes. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Dave.
All right.
After Further Review.
Yeah, been a while here since we've done this. These questions courtesy of the producer of Cleveland Browns Daily, Jason Gibbs, who is still feeling today a little bit of a golf hangover, so to speak, because for our first question on
After Further Review,
will Jordan Spieth win as many majors as Tiger Woods has currently won?
He's won 14, right?
Correct.
Correct.
Go ahead, Matt.
My answer is yes. I do believe he will win as many as Tiger Woods. And I think a lot of those will come within the next 4 years. So by the age of 25, I would not be surprised if Jordan Spieth has between 8 and 10 majors.
All right. My answer is no, and I'll tell you why. And it has nothing to do with the level of his play or how excellent I think he is, because he is excellent. But I think that in Tiger Woods' reign, when he was winning all of those majors, the rest of the field was totally intimidated by him. No, I mean, everybody was in fear of him, how far he hit the ball, and then nobody really even wanted to be around him. And I think that they kind of, just wilted. But I don't think the current crop is going to wilt around Justin Spieth, even though he really lights out a lot of times.
He does.
So I think 14 is going to be a hefty number for him to reach.
What about Rory, guys?
No, I don't.
Rory, no.
No, I don't think so. Yeah,
I think Rory's going to get. He's going to. His mind won't allow him to overcome what you just talked about, the field and being so strong. And then he's going to have to, let alone him getting older. He's dealing with injuries now, albeit a silly one.
Yeah.
But he's going to deal with those as gets older as well.
Well, he's definitely not going to the Premier League. he's not going to win any titles there.
No, he's not.
After further review.
All right, let's stay one more for golf, guys. Will Tiger Woods ever win another major tournament?
No, he's done. As in tennis, there were rebirths of careers, and guys won. Actually, in golf, too. I mean, I remember when I first started at Channel 3, Jack Nicklaus ended up winning that Masters.
In his 40s.
In his 40s, yeah. I don't think he is ever going to win one, even though a guy like, remember when Jimmy Connors came back and he ended up winning some big titles and things like that? I don't think that's going to happen with Tiger Woods. I think he is so messed up with swing and with life and with what's going on all around him that I think Tiger Woods truly misses his dad.
I believe so as well.
I really think
he was
Tiger Woods
huge stabilizer for Tiger Woods, even in in light of all that was wrong with Tiger.
It wasn't. It's not Butch Harmon or the many other coaches that
Hank
he's brought
Haney,
in.
Yeah.
It's not Stevie Williams, the caddy. It's his dad. He misses his dad.
He does. I'm going to go as much. I'm a Tiger fan. He was, during his run, it was like rooting for Michael Jordan all over again. He could do no wrong. I'm going to go ahead after this British Open and say no. Because leading up to this British Open, everyone talked about how well Tiger knows the old course, having won a major there, and he knows it like the back of his hand, and he's going to be so great coming off the greenbrier, shooting that 67, and he went 4 over on the first day. Yeah. While guys were shooting, 66s and 67s and so on and so forth. So I'm going to say no, and a lot of that has to do with your first point about Jordan Spieth. Everyone else now is so good.
Yeah.
They've caught up. There's the Spieth. There's the Rory. There's the Bubba. There's Dustin Johnson. All these guys are in the middle of their 20s.
Yeah.
And you're telling me you're going to beat all them in your middle 30s while dealing with everything that you just talked about.
And one other thing in golf, Dino, I am definitely, if I ever got to a course, I would run out and bend the visor of Ricky Fowler. That drives me crazy.
On that note,
after further review.
All right, now let's get some football questions for you guys. The first of two. Next to quarterback, what's the one position on the field that must produce for the Browns to have a successful 2015 campaign?
I'm going to say wide receiver. Because I still think that there's a lot of, it's still, as much as they want to run the ball, I think that there were times last year and definitely near the end of the year where the wide receivers just didn't get it done for them. And you can put it on Hoyer, and it's easy to do that. But on the other end, there were guys that just didn't get it done. Gordon did not get it done. Miles Austin got hurt. Okay, Taylor Gabriel faded out of the offense once Gordon came in.
Yep.
That was a problem.
Hawk had some drops late.
Hawkins had some drops late. I think those wide receivers, and so definitely with the guys they've added, certainly Bo, because he's being paid well, and Hartline, and hopefully this kid they've brought in, Maley. But I definitely still think you have to catch the ball, and you have to make some plays in the air, and you have to help your quarterback out, and those guys are going to have to do it.
I agree with you, and that was my number one as well, wide receiver, but to make things interesting, I'm going to go with another group. I'm going to go with our outside linebackers.
Good.
And the reason why I say that is because every good 3-4 or every great defense and or 3-4 defense calls upon their outside pass rushers to make a play a lot like the big catch a wide receiver has to make to close a game, to end a drive, to make that big, that sack force fumble that it seems like other teams are making, we never have. We make that play in the first quarter to be in the game, but our guys are irrelevant in the fourth quarter. So I need our outside linebackers I want two double-digit sack guys in the outside linebacker room.
Hmm. Very good.
And finally, guys.
After further review.
Well, this is for both of you here.
Yes.
What's your most memorable moment from training camp for Jim, you as a broadcaster, and obviously Matt, you as a player?
Go ahead, Matt. What was your most memorable moment?
Where does
San Diego train?
They're right there at Charger Park, like us here in Berea. We're right there in Mission Valley. My most memorable moment for training camp, I have two. One was my first training camp practice to talk about, coming to camp as a rookie at the Home Depot Center up in Carson, California, because we were at a remote location then. But just the surreal moment of hitting the practice field as a professional football player and going to training camp. And my second was my first year paid and slotted to be the starter, going into training camp as the starter, having been paid like a starter. So I now had the backing of my teammates, I had the backing of my coaches, and I had the backing financially of the organization to trust me to be a starter for an NFL football team.
All right, I'm going to come at it, obviously, from a,
sure,
a little different perspective. All right, Dave, I want you to remember this with me.
Okay.
On a downside. All right, I'm going to give you a downside, but it is memorable. I remember how excited everybody was when Phil Savage signed a big bumper crop free agent class, and to boot, they were all from around here. And the first play of training camp that particular year, the first play, LeCharles Bentley went down with a knee injury and never played again. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I mean, like it was yesterday.
And that was the end of the season. It was almost like the end of the year.
It
was the end of the season, and then they had to go out, and they brought in like a center every day to try and, you know, fix the problem.
Sure.
But it was unfixable at that time. But that was a real downer. Now, I have an interesting, memorable moment, and it was when the Browns used to train out at Lakeland Community College. And it was when Marty was the head coach and the Browns were really good and really hot, and everybody loved them. And people went out there and picnicked all day when they had the double sessions. And they practiced one day. They were going to do the Oklahoma drill.
Yep.
Okay, the one-on-one drill that Marty loved to do. And it got publicized that they were doing the Oklahoma drill, so everybody showed up. And they had over 10,000 that afternoon, okay, for practice for the Oklahoma drill. And the Indians were playing the Toronto Blue Jays that afternoon down at the old stadium and drew 5,275 people. And that's when I said, this is really a football town.
It definitely is.
That was a great story.
That's awesome.
I've done the Oklahoma drill with Marty.
Marty loved the Oklahoma drill. Do you remember that, Dino, when they would –
Absolutely.
Did you ever go out there to Lakeland when they were out there?
Yeah, I mean, had my picture taken with Brian Sipe and Clay Matthews.
Wow.
First time I actually met Paul Warfield. He was doing some work for the Browns organization at the time.
Yeah.
And I got to catch passes. I don't know if you'll remember these guys. The Browns had Brian Sipe was the starter. Paul McDonald was the backup. And they had Terry Nugent and Tom Flick.
We're competing for the third string
quarterback spot, and I got to catch passes from Terry Nugent and Tom Flick.
Wow. Well, and I'll tell you what. I remember when Bernie hit town. When Bernie hit town and they were out in Lakeland, the crowds were unbelievable. They were just
imagine what they'd be with Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, right. But it was more – I mean, they had multiple practice fields. And they had huge parking areas, and people would go out there, and they would spend the entire day. You would watch the morning practice, and then everybody would have a picnic out on these spacious fields, and then you'd go and you'd watch the afternoon practice.
Great.
And it would be, I mean, that the one day I tell you about, it was way over 10,000 people there. That was when the Chip Banks and Eddie Johnson and all those guys.
Yeah.
And Clay Matthews, and it was just great. It was a great atmosphere out there. That was fun, Dino.
Yeah, good stuff, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, we take a break here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We got a quick segment coming back.
Okay. When we come back, we'll wrap up the Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. I heard you feeling nothing's going on.